Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Last week, we were talking about storms in life and how to make sure we're built for the storm. We looked at a stormy season in Isaac's life. And in this week's portion, we read about a stormy season in Jacob's life, among other events. And he was experiencing problems with the family, especially with his father-in-law. And because he worked for his father-in-law, it meant he had problems at work. He had problems in the family business. That meant he had problems with money. He had problems with his career. And you get the picture. Problems in every direction. And we read how God delivered him from this storm. Sometimes you think that there's only one way through the storm, which is to hunker down and that's it. But God actually took Jacob through the storm and caused him to be better off than he was before the storm. So it teaches us something. When God is with you, even storms come to an end. And when they do, you can be better off than you were before. Every one of us is going to face storms. And it's the will of God that we not only survive the storm, but we thrive after the storm. Two key words, survive and thrive. Can you say those with me? Survive and thrive. And how do we survive and thrive? We looked at that last week. According to Yeshua, the key to getting through the storms in life is to learn his teachings and then to put those teachings into practice. Learning about Yeshua's teachings is not enough. It takes learning and doing, Yeshua says, in order to be well built so that we can remain standing during the storm and after the storm. By the way, I think it'd be good if we can lift up the people in the Philippines and also in Vietnam because they are going through a terrible typhoon. I picked up some notes from CNN, Super Typhoon Haiyan. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Perhaps the strongest storm ever plowed across the central Philippines on Friday, leaving widespread devastation with sustained winds of 195 miles an hour, gusts as strong as 235 miles an hour. Haiyan may be the strongest tropical cyclone to hit land anywhere in recorded history. Experts predict that the casualty toll will soar once aid workers get to the hardest hit areas, many of which are totally isolated, no phone service, no electricity, passed through the Philippines, and now it's headed towards Vietnam. So let's pray for the Philippines. Let's pray for Vietnam right now. Lord, we pray for mercy. Lord, we pray for resources. We pray, Lord, for protection. We know that this storm has brought with it great devastation. And we pray for something else, Lord. We pray that this would be an opportunity for neighbors to show kindness to neighbors, for nations to show kindness to other nations, and that instead of destruction being the end result, there would be compassion that comes forward. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. And last week, we became aware of a different kind of storm that's brewing in our neighborhood. That's why I spoke to you earlier about the call to action, writing local officials this past week to oppose the plan to locate an adult entertainment nightclub just around the corner on Bay Meadows Road. Sandy and I each wrote emails. I know some of you did the same. I'm not going to ask how many. I heard from a few of you that you contacted the Planning Commission staff. And on November 14th, there'll be a hearing. I hope you'll make plans to attend it. It's time to put your citizenship into action. Just a few of us gathered on Wednesday night to pray at the former Burger King there on Bay Meadows Road. That's where the businessmen are planning to open an adult entertainment nightclub. And when we were praying there, I tell you, I had some awareness of my own shortcomings because I came there with a defensive, negative posture. Lord, stop this. Lord, empty the pockets of those businessmen. stopped them in every way. And I realized that I had looked at this boarded up Burger King for a number of years, and I just counted it as an inevitable casualty during the economic problems of the last few years. But it wasn't just that place. I looked at a few others down the street, and then across the street, a few others. And I actually found that I had not been proactive in praying for God's blessings on this part of our neighborhood, and I had just accepted this as the casualty of the economic downturn. And I can honestly say I had no expectation for anything better. And the only thing that motivated me was something worse. I knew what I was against, but being against something is not enough. What are we in favor of, and what good do we hope to see? And as we were standing there and praying over this empty Burger King building, I was trying to get into my heart and into my mind what would be better than it being empty and boarded up, and I realized some good business. I started praying. I knew Dunkin' Donuts is moving around. And it was with a mixed motive. You know, it's like, okay, it'd be all right. I don't really want to go there. So I couldn't pray with total good conscience for the Dunkin' Donuts. But given the choice, let it be a Dunkin' Donuts or something else. And I thought of some other businesses that have come in recently to places that had been closed up. And the business people had a vision, they had a hope, they had a sense of the good that they could do and the opportunities that they could take. So I just found myself trying to turn from the negativity. You know, when you pray against things, it's one thing, but it's not the same as praying for something concrete and something very positive. And so I sort of was caught up short by the Holy Spirit because I was verbalizing what I did not want to see, and I was strong in that, and I was clear, don't let this happen. But when the Holy Spirit was probing, well, what would you like to see? I was dumbfounded. I didn't have an answer, and that was embarrassing. It was embarrassing before the Lord because it took me that long to grasp even the possibility of good. I realized that I can drive by certain places and just tune them out. I don't think about them. Maybe you're the same too. And we go along our way. We see things that are there. They can be completely neutral, and we're just unconcerned. It's just we got other things on our mind. And I had to shift from what I was against to what I was for, and that took me some time. And when you go over there to pray, and I will ask you next week, did you go? And I'll give you a challenge. If you go and that business is not established, but something good is established, you'll have a share in that reward. And if you don't pray, and worse comes to worse, you'll regret not having taken a stronger stand. So when you go over there to pray, I want to ask you to ask God to give you something positive to pray for about that empty building. Now, the other thing that I noticed when I was praying is that I had been concerned about this proposed adult entertainment business, nightclub, strip joint, something. For one reason, it was in our neighborhood. It's near us. I noticed on the Jacksonville newspaper website that there were some neighborhood opponents to this who said, well, let it be in one of these other neighborhoods. And they named, you know, like Emerson and Phillips. And that aroused the ire of people in those neighborhoods who said, we're trying to get our neighborhood straight. And don't just be shoveling it in our direction. Well, I realized I'd been relatively unconcerned for the other neighborhoods. I don't know about you. This stirred me to try to embrace a wider field of vision and to have a concern for the well-being of a wider area. Recently, I've been studying some scriptures that speak to the attitudes and the perspectives and the actions that are associated with that wider field of vision and concern for the wider area. And these scriptures have forced me to check my heart and my behavior, because all significant growth and change that we hope for ourselves requires the heart and it requires behavior. What does my heart desire? And am I willing to change my behavior and do what's necessary? I think that's why Yeshua says that the well-built house, the person who remains standing during the storm and remains standing after the storms of life, is the one who listens to Yeshua's teachings and puts them into practice, because that unifies the things of the heart and behavior as well. To know but not to do is like building on sand, Yeshua says. To know and do, this is like building on rock. This will make you solid. It will make your life solid. It will cause you to put your efforts into things that actually remain through times of testing. So that got me looking again at Jeremiah 29. You might want to turn there. Israel was facing a stormy time. The prophet Jeremiah brought a word of direction and vision for the exiles who were taken to Babylon. It's hard to imagine being in exile. It's hard to imagine being comfortable in your home, in your place, and then be taken captive by another country who physically removes you to another land where you have to start all over again with nothing. That was the condition of Israel. And in such a condition, Jeremiah knew that they could give in to despair and to hopelessness and even nihilism, seeing a purposeless future filled with loss and pain and nothing more than that. And I understood in reading Jeremiah that it's not just a hazard that Israel faced moving to Babylon. It's a hazard every one of us faces on a day-to-day basis. We can fall into this way of thinking where we don't see the bigger picture. We only see what's in front of us. We see the difficulties. We see the challenges. We see the losses that are in front of us. But we don't know how to live in light of a greater perspective. Jeremiah brought a different perspective to Israel, and it was a perspective that he got directly from the Lord. And it was meant to touch both the attitudes of the heart and everyday behavior, not only his, but all those who heard it, and not only them, but us today. And so Jeremiah 29, starting in verse 4, says, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." That's a radical statement. God carried Israel into exile. It wasn't the enemy who did it, it was the hand of God. And that tells you something, that God is able to watch over the times and seasons, the boundaries of where we live. He can move us from one place to another. He can even take us out of the land of Israel and take us to another place for his purposes. Now look at verse 5. Build houses, settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. So all of you who are in favor of healthy eating, this is for you. Marry, have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons and give your daughters to in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Isn't that strong? Don't give in to the idea that now you're in trouble, you've displeased God, and he's removed you from the promised land, and life is over. God says, no, you live where you are moved to. I'm watching over your life. I moved you here. I want you to prosper here, which is so contradictory even to the way many believers think. Many of us think that when we get in trouble with God, he just wants us to pay our dues. And we tend to think, I call it karma. What you sow, you'll reap. And yet, God wants to redeem us. He doesn't want every seed, every bad seed that we sow to come to fruition. And he will show grace to us. Verse 7, also, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so the Lord is saying to the Jewish people in Babylon, life goes on. You may not be where you were, but your life continues. Do not think it's over. Build a life in the new place, in the new circumstance. Build a future. Build houses. Plant gardens. Plan for the future and make your everyday life normal again, but this time, do it in the presence of God. Get married, have children, have grandchildren. Having grandchildren, I can say, is one of the best things I ever did. Increase, don't decrease. Oh, that is such a challenge, because we're living in times where it's easier for many people to imagine decrease than increase. And yet we have to see beyond that. We have to see a hope and a future. We have to see that with God's blessing, we can increase. And then this very unusual word from the Lord, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Don't give up. And don't imagine that all blessing has been removed or come to an end, because God is at work and he's saying, I have carried you here. I've carried you into exile. I have done it, and there is a purpose in it. Now, here's what I am asking you to do, I'm telling you to do. You seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. Now, that requires a proactive, positive view, and I found myself not having that for my own neighborhood here, even though I'm a positive, proactive person. I've been driving by this empty Burger King and not particularly unhappy, you know, because I'm not a big Burger King fan these days. You caught it. Yeah, when I was a kid, yeah, I wanted to have it my way. But I wasn't distressed that there was an empty, boarded up building on the street just around the corner. It didn't bother me. I mean, of course, I wish there was something better there, but I was not expecting a blessing for that building. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't seeking the prosperity of that part of the street. Do you get that? How many of you can identify with this? You've been neutral or just ignoring. It hadn't been on your mind. It's not reached a priority that's gotten your attention. There are other things you're concerned about, but not that. You seek the peace and prosperity of the city. That was the word that the Lord gave Jeremiah to give to Israel. You seek it. Other people will say, don't even care. Other people will say, just mind your own business. Stay out of all that stuff. It's got nothing to do with you. Some people will say, because they're alienated, don't even get involved. That's one of the great messages of alienation. Don't get involved. Stay away. Don't even try. And we may be called to be aliens in this world, but not to be alienated. This is a whole other view. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. So how do you seek the peace? First of all, you have to look for it. This is what really disturbed me. And I realized in reading the Torah portion this week, there were several occasions where the Lord said to Jacob, lift up your eyes and see. And every time he did that, the circumstances that followed changed. Why? Because he saw things from a different perspective. Yeshua said something like this: you say 4 more months, I say the fields are ripe unto harvest. Look, lift up your eyes and look to the fields. Now, what happens with a lot of us, here, I'll show you, is we get our iPads out and we start reading them, we're surfing the internet, we're watching cable news, we're looking at this and that, we're absorbed in the things that are right in front of us, and we haven't learned to lift up our eyes and to see things from a perspective that the Lord has. We have taken the naysaying on every corner as if it's truth, and we need to get that out of our system, because we need to have something positive that we get from the Lord. Do you understand this? We have to look for it. It may not be obvious. We have to look for it, and we have to seek. That's a continued effort and action. We have to lift up our eyes to see things differently, to look at different things. If you're always looking at the same stuff and it makes you depressed, stop looking at it. Another way that we seek the peace and prosperity of the city, we have to work for it. That is to become one of our goals. We not only look for it, we work for it. We put effort into it. We have to not only think about it and know about it, but do something. This connects with what Yeshua is saying. You want to be built for the storm. You want to be well built. You want to survive every storm that comes your way. Learn his teachings regarding every matter that touches your life and put them into practice. That will do it. Put them into practice. So you have to work for it. The third thing, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city, is pray for it. We have to actually go to God and we have to ask him to do something on behalf of our cities. And then there's a motivation that's given here. Why? Because if it prospers, you will too. Now, I believe there are a lot of keys to prosperity. Being generous is one. Being faithful is another. Be faithful to bring your tithes. That's a good thing. Be generous with offerings above and beyond. Be generous with your time. Be generous with your resources. And respond to the things that God puts in your heart. What you decide to do, do fully. Those are keys. But those aren't the only keys. Here's another key. Seek the good of your city, because if it prospers, you'll prosper. All you guys in business here, all you women in business, you know this is true. If the world around you, if the city around you is prospering, it'll be better for you. If it's in decline, if the economy's shrinking, if people are being laid off, it will be worse for you. It doesn't matter what business you're in. It will affect you in some way if the economy is deteriorating instead of improving. If it prospers, you will too. Imagine that. If our section of Bay Meadows around the corner prospers, we'll prosper too. Now think of it the other way. What if we ignore what's going on and we just think, oh, it's going down the tubes. That's it. Nothing we can do. You can't get City Hall to even listen. There's no hope. It's a waste of time. Why even write them? How many of you were tempted by that? Why even write these guys? Every one of you who didn't write them, not only were you tempted, you gave into it, even if you didn't know. You said to yourself, it doesn't matter if I express my voice. It's so easy to think, why should I even bother to go on Thursday? They probably won't ask me to say anything, and what can I say that can make a difference? What does it matter? If you have that kind of attitude, you won't schedule time to be there, and you won't express yourself. And then when you see something bad happen, you'll say, yeah, that's what I thought. And that's so negative, that's so reactive, it's depressed. It's not the vision that God has for us. If it prospers, if the city around you prospers, you will too. Pray to the Lord for the city. That's the instruction. Pray to the Lord for the city. Why do you think he has to tell us to pray for the city that we live in? I think it's because we're not inclined to do that. I think we're inclined to pray for ourselves. We're inclined to pray for our own stuff, but not the greater city that we live in. And he's saying, you gotta pray to me and ask me, because I've got plans for good for the city. Think about this. God so loved Babylon, he sent the Jewish people there to improve it. He had such interest in Babylon that he brought the Jewish people into Babylon to do something good for Babylon. It was in Babylon that the Babylonian Talmud was written. It was in Babylon that synagogues as institutions began to develop. And you might think, oh, wicked Babylon. And there's, of course, that side. But God's view of wickedness can be different than ours. God looks at wickedness and he wants to change the circumstances that people are in, to bring them out of the wickedness that separates them from him and from a blessed life. So God has plans for good. He had plans for Babylon. We need to become aware of those plans. That's why it was so awkward trying to pray in a positive way for that space where the adult entertainment business, you know, is planned. Lord, please bring something. Amen. That is so useless. I had no sense of God's plans for that building. Isn't that true? I mean, you were there. Lewis, you saw me. It's like, I have no idea. I know what he doesn't want. I have no idea what he does want. It was awkward. Now, do you think that God has plans for such mundane things as an empty building? I think so. Plans for good, right? And so how do we become aware of his plans? We have to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I want to fellowship with you. I want to become aware of what you want to do. What do you want to do here? You know, let me open my heart and my mind to receive. And then you become a servant of God's plans when he says to you, this is what I want to do. You know what a good response is? Hineni. Here I am. Okay, Lord, you've given me awareness of this. Now I'm ready to do something, whatever my part may be. I'm here to carry out assignments. And the most basic assignment is this: do good. Be a blessing. It is not enough to find fault or just be a critic. God has taken hold of us in order to accomplish a better future. I found it so easy to pray against these greedy businessmen. It was harder to say, Lord, would you bless them with repentance? Of course, once I started praying in that direction, it wasn't so difficult. It just wasn't in my mind at first. I was praying, Lord, just take away all their resources. Let them run out of money. Let them be at odds with each other so they can't even agree on what to do. That's very negative. I mean, if necessary, I think that's okay to pray like that, but that is not the same thing as having a positive view. And I understood, even if God answered all the prayers to stop that kind of business from being set up there, then we still have an empty business. Do you get that? And that's how it is in our life. If we're only praying against and for the stopping of the negative, if God answers us and that's the only way he answers us, we still have the problem that we had in the first place, the emptiness. And that's why we have to get a hold of something more positive. Romans 2, verse 7 says this: God will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. seeking after the glory and the honor and the everlasting life and immortality that God offers. I want to close with something that really got a hold of me. God does not want anyone to perish. It's not enough to stop the evil. He wants to turn the situation around. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise," as some understand slowness. "Instead, he's patient with you." And when I read that, I thought, well, he's patient with them. No, he's patient with me. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Let's say that together. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. In the same way, in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, Paul is saying to Timothy, "I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." This is good. It pleases God our Savior. Verse 4, "who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." You see, here's the picture. We need to pray that we can live peaceful and godly lives, quiet lives, safe lives as believers, for a reason, so that we can be instruments of good for the city and the people. Do you see that? Why? Because God desires that no one would perish. None would perish. So you know what that tells me? You and I can make a difference as to whether people perish or not. It's the will of God that we have an impact. Not only are we to live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness, but we're to live in a way that helps other people come into a right relationship with God. And that requires that we put off alienation and that we engage people of many different kinds in order to have an impact. And then the final scripture from Ezekiel says much the same thing. Ezekiel 18:23 and 32. Verse 23 first. "Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" That's the question. Do I find pleasure when the wicked die? You know what the answer is? No. You know what I find pleasure in, the Lord says? That he turns from his ways and he lives. Imagine that every one of us prayed for these businessmen who wanted to put that adult entertainment place, and we prayed that they could turn from those ways and they could live. That's positive, isn't it? Ezekiel 18:32, "I have no pleasure in the death of the one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, repent and live." Turn to me and live. Those scriptures got a hold of me this week after I fell short trying to pray in a positive way for our part of the city. And I hope they get a hold of you, because I tell you why, God wants to use us in a positive way. He wants us to be a blessing, not just to our friends, but Yeshua said, to our enemies as well. To those who are against us and against God, how do we bless them? We bless them by praying for good to come into their lives. We pray for God's patience and his love to be manifest in their lives in the same way he manifested it with us. And that means that we have to put off all holier-than-thou attitudes where we think we're better and that's why God's on our side. The best we can hope for is to be on his side, ladies and gentlemen, because of his mercy and his goodness. So Lord, I thank you that you use these awkward moments of prayer on Wednesday night to speak to my heart and to turn my heart and my actions in a different direction. And I pray, Lord, I pray for us as a community, for us as a congregation, for each of us individually, that these scriptures would get a hold of us, that your word would get a hold of us, that we would be familiar with your position about our city and its well-being, and that we would act in a way that reflects your position. Give us a heart for our city. Open our eyes that we could see things we've missed, opportunities, necessities, needs of different kinds, that we would take to heart the needs of those around us. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's close with Aaron's blessing. You can rise. Don't stand alone if you're alone. Move or have a friend move to you. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom.